So today we're going to talk about the transfer of leadership. And we are going to focus on Joshua, Yehoshua, being appointed but not anointed. And that, of course, begs a question, because kings are anointed, as are Kohanim Gedolim. Okay, I'm going to pick this up today in the fourth reading, which would be Numbers by Midbar, chapter 27. The fourth reading of Parshas Pinchas. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees that he is not going to be leading the Jewish people into the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael, despite his hopes, his ardent hope that, in fact, Hashem would allow him to. And therefore, in verse 15, Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem, an inverted verse, not Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, not God speaks to Moshe, but here Vayidaber Moshe, Moshe speaks to God. Lamer. Interestingly, the Moshe uses the terminology is Vayidaber. Vayidaber is like a tough talk, tough position. And indeed, the Eruch Chaim says that Moshe Rabbeinu came in a sense with a mishpat. He came with, you know, by law. He had a demand to make of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't want to die. And he wanted to make sure that the Jewish people were looked after and taken care of. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes very forcefully, and that's the Vayidaber. And what's Lamer? Usually Hashem would speak to Moshe. Lamer, he should tell somebody else about it. Who should God tell about it? Vayidaber Havaya? By Moshe? Moshe speaks to God, Lamer. Who tell who? I mean, God heard, surely. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Lahakish Talmud L'Rav, to compare the master to the disciple. When God speaks to Moshe, that's the verse we're familiar with, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamer. Now it's Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem Lamer. Same style, same syntax. There's a symmetry, a corollary, if you will, in the conversation, even though now it's the other way. And what does Moshe say? Forcefully makes this demand. He said, Yifked Hashem l'kei haruchis. May God appoint the God of spirits, l'chol basa, for each, for all of flesh, ish al ha'idah, a man over this congregation. Hashem should appoint somebody who is going to be able to lead the people. Now, Rashi tells us on the words Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe v'goymer, so Rashi's not commenting on the words Vayidaber, but it's a general comment because it says the word v'goymer, etc. Lo'idia shivchon shel tzadikim. This broadcasts and informs you about the righteousness of tzadikim, the praise of the righteous. Shekishin eftarim min ha'ilam, when the time comes to leave this world, manichim tzarkon, they set aside their own needs, v'oiskin v'tzarchit tzibur. And instead, they immerse themselves in the needs of everybody else. And it's interesting that the first leader, or Rebbe, if you will, really in a certain sense, is Yaakov Avinu. And what does Yaakov spend his last waking hours do? Thinking about himself, reviewing his own life? No, speaking to the children. And he speaks to them harsh words and difficult words. And Rashi talks about it over there. He says, you can't do it twice and get away with it. So Yaakov spent his last moments focused entirely on his children and on the future. And that's what's going on here with Moshe Rabbeinu. Person would think, he devoted his whole life, give me some me time. Not for Moshe, no me time. What is his last wishes, last concern? His last concern is the people time. What will happen with Am Yisrael? Lamer. So what's lamer? I gave you the answer that Rabbeinu Bechaya offers. Rashi says that doesn't work on a simple level. On a simple level, there's no extra words in the Torah and no poetry. What's going on here? What's lamer? So Rashi says that the lamer here does not mean the way we usually typically understand it, that should be told to somebody else, but Omar Lai, he said to Moshe, Hashiveni Be'ata Mimanali Parnas Imlav. I want an answer. I want to know what's going on. I demand an answer. I'm not saying, oh, God will take care of it. Okay. I'm sure the Eibishter will take care of things and everything will work out right. No good. Moshe says, I want to know. You please tell me exactly what's going to happen over here. And so Moshe's request, his demand is, Yifked Hashem. Hashem should appoint. Says Rashi, why suddenly now is Moshe Rabbeinu worried about succession planning? We never heard a word about this in 40 years. And now Moshe's worried about who's my successor. What happened now? Why all of a sudden is this an issue? Says Rashi, Kevon Sheshama Moshe. Once Moses heard, Sha'amar Lehamokim, that Moshe Rabbeinu heard God say to him, Ten Nachlas Tzlofchad Levnesov. This is Chumash we learned yesterday about the daughters of a man named Tzlofchad who died and left no sons, and then we had to take care of his inheritance, who will take his portion of the land of Israel. So Hashem said, 10, give them Nachlas Lafchad. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, maybe if in that case it's very important to get inheritance. Like, you know, couldn't say Tzalafchad's land should go to some broader corporation, or maybe go to the Shevet. No, give it to him. Doesn't have sons, his daughters. Moshe said, oh, in that case, in that case, I'm going to make demands for my own inheritance. I don't have any land. I have a position. Certainly my sons should have that position. By now, Moshe Rabbeinu's little baby children, then they were just like a baby, a year old or a few years old. Now they're in their 40s. Okay? Somebody's got to be worthy. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's children. It's a Poyra's children. So, Sheyidish Banai Ezdulasi, that my children should inherit the greatness, the position that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to Moshe, sorry, Loichach also b'machshava lefanai. It's not the way I see it. It's not so you see it, not the way I see it. Kedayu Yehoshua, it is Joshua who is worthy, Litel Schar Shimushai, who should now be rewarded for all of his dedication and devotion and loyalty, Shalei Mosh Mitechael, for he has never for a moment left the, so to speak, the proverbial tent. He's always been dedicated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zesha Amar Shleima, Rashi says, this is what King Solomon says in his wisdom. In the book of Mishlei, of Proverbs, he says, Noitzer Te'ina Yechol Pirya, the one who was watching the tree grow and who shielded and guarded the plants and the fruit, he's the one who should now be able to eat the produce. Okay, so Moshe hears that, and now he knows that his children are not going to be the one. But he says, Yifkid Elikim, Hashem should choose. Why do we say Elikei HaRuchis? Where do we hear God referred to as Elikei HaRuchis, the God of spirits? Why and why now? So Rashi asks this question. He says, Loma Nemar, why here is it said? It's unusual. Rashi doesn't usually spell out the question. Usually his comments. Here he spells out the question. He says, Loma Nemar, why Elikei HaRuchis? It's really a strange expression. So Rashi says, Omar Lefanov. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said before God. Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Goli v'yidu lefanecha da'ita shekol echad v'yechad. Only you know what's in everybody's heart and mind. Only God knows this. And only God knows, Ein Adamin Zeh L'Zeh, that nobody is like the other one. Everybody has their own shtick. Everybody has their own approach and attitude. Everybody has a unique setting and appreciation of reality. Manei aleihem manhig shi'yehe seivel. I want you to appoint a leader who will be able to countenance, who will be able to suffer, who will be able to deal. Kal kol echad v'echad l'fidayte. He will have the patience, the time, and the willingness to deal with each one according to their individual shtick. A leader for everybody, a leader for every person. And what will this leader do? This leader will be a l'kei ruches. And Rabbeinu Bachaya has a different approach here, by the way. Rashi says l'kei ruches talks about the spirits of the people. And therefore, Elikei HaRuchis means the God who knows how everybody's different should find a person who's going to be able to deal with each and every one. So Rabbeinu Bachaya says differently. He doesn't know yet who's going to be the leader, who's going to do this job. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you know what's really in people's hearts. You know Elikei HaRuchis. No person can ever know what's really in somebody else's heart, but God knows. So Moshe says, this is a God thing. You know what's in everybody's heart. You, Ribbono shel Olam, you God, you choose, find the right individual. Rashi maintains, L'kei HaRuchis means that this is the leader who is able to appreciate, understand, and empathize with each one on their individual level. My uncle Abel Olav Hashalom used to say that every person looked at the Rebbe and he saw in the Rebbe something else. The engineer saw in the Rebbe an engineer. The Rosh Hashiva saw an incredible Torah scholar. The Kabbalist saw a mystic. The leader saw a visionary. The CEO saw a pragmatist. Everybody saw something else, but the Rebbe was all those things. Everybody saw his thing in him. That's the real Isha Ruches. You have a true leader that each person is able to identify with the leader and see something, what they consider to be excellent, what's in their milieu, what's in their reality. This was so reflected in their leader, in a true Rebbe. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu says. The people, if I leave the people, I need to know that they are going to be looked after well. Asher yetzel lefnehem, a leader who will go out before them. Asher yovi lefnehem, not only he'll go out, but he'll also arrive before them. Asher yetzi aim, asher yovi aim. He will take them out and he will bring them. V'leisia adas yisrael katzayin asher ein lehem roi. The Jewish people should not be like sheep who are leaderless, just like a flock of sheep aimlessly wandering without the proper guidance. Now this verse,
really believe that his sons would inherit this position rather than Yehoshua?
It's a really good question. So elsewhere it says that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the leadership could be divided in two, that there could be somebody who would be the CEO of the Jewish people, somebody who could adjudicate, somebody who could be the practical leader, and then there would be somebody else who would be the holy man, the spiritual leader. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I did both, but now we can divide the position. And God said to him, sorry, it's not the way it goes. There needs to be one leader. You cannot have two people at the driver's seat. And for many years, that's how it was. We had really one person. But we'll talk about that a little later on.
Okay.
It's a good question. On a very, very simple level, when it comes to ourselves and our own family, we have a blind spot. It seems this was Moshe Rabbeinu's blind spot, if one could say that. On a level, on a pshat level, okay, so to show something deeper. But on a very simple level, it's not worked my whole life. Let me see my children. Sure, they weren't bad people. I mean, like, Moshe Rabbeinu's children. But it wasn't Yehoshua. Asher yetzi lefnehem, it says, Asher yetzi v'asher yavi. He'll go out before them, he'll come before them. Then it's Asher yetziyem v'asher yaviyem. This whole pasuk, this whole verse seems entirely redundant. And there's got to be something very deep that's being conveyed over here. Of course, what is it? So Rashi says, Asher yetzi lefnehem, that this refers to the notion of leading the people in warfare. That means, leke derech malchei umis, not like the regents, nobility, or leaders of the nations, sheyeshvim bevateihem, that they sit back at home, umishalchen es chayaleseihem lemelchama, they send the troops off to war. Where are they? They're playing golf. They don't go to war. They're a leader. It's a commander. He doesn't have to be there. No, elokemoi sheasi siani, the way I did, shenelchamti, I myself, rolled up my sleeves. Moshe Rabbeinu is 119 years old. He was no youngster. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu himself went out into battle against the kings of Sichon and Og. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself is the one who kills Og. Shenemar al tira oisai. Hashem says, you don't be afraid. I'm going to give him into your hands. And indeed, we see this is kederach she'asa Yeshua. This is what Yehoshua did when it came to the conquering of the land. Shenemar, it says there's a fascinating episode where Yehoshua sees a person and this person is coming against him with a drawn sword, and Yehoshua doesn't know who he is. And Yehoshua himself, Vayelech Yehoshua Elav, Yehoshua himself goes, and he confronts this individual who doesn't know he's a malach. Vayomer, he says, Lo, says to him, Halonu ata, are you ours? Or as the pasuk goes on to say, Im Litzareinu, are you an enemy? Friend or foe? Identify yourself. He didn't send somebody else. Yehoshua himself went to deal with it. The king himself, the leader himself, he went to deal with it. And we see also the next great leader of the Jewish people, who we talk about much, much later in history, is David HaMelech. And who Omer says, Ki hu yoytzei uvalef nehem. Exactly these words it says in the book of Samuel. He goes before and comes before them. Yoytzei bereish. He's the one who goes out first to war. And nichnas bereish and comes in. Then the question is, what does it mean, Asher yoytzeim v'asher yaviim? If he's the one who goes out first and he's the one who enters first, so then obviously he's going to be bringing them in, or he's going to be taking them out. What does it mean, Asher yetziyem v'asher yaviyem? So Rashi says, then here must be something else. It cannot be literal. We said this already. So there, what must this be? This means b'zchut Yosef. In other words, that the people will follow the king, knowing that this is the kind of leader who is meritorious. He's meritorious in Hashem's eyes. He's deserving of Hashem's bracha. Therefore, he inspires with them a sense of confidence. Hashem will bless him, and he will bless them because of him. So we need to have that kind of leader, the leader who inspires within them the confidence that Hashem is going to bless them as a result, with his, in other words, because of his merits. V'ashe yivim, Rashi says once again, he brings them, bizuchuyotav. Once again, we emphasize on the merits that he has accrued. Dover acher, another interpretation, because yetzi yitziv, v'ashe yivim, speaks about his virtue, but this is a verb. It's a yitziim, he's going to bring him out. Yivim, he's going to bring him in. And here, yet Rashi is telling you, it's talking about the virtues he possesses and the merits he accrues. So he says, another davar acher, another interpretation is, v'asher yivim, shalait ha'asalei kederach sh'ata isali. Moshe Rabbeinu says, please don't do to him what you're doing to me. I'm not getting to bring them into the land. Please God, this guy, whoever you're going to choose, let him be the one to bring them in. Let him be the one to actually go ahead and to arrange it. The Targum Yonason has a very interesting way of explaining the Asher Yetzel of Nehem v'Asher Yevim. He said it's one thing to win a battle, it's quite another to be able to deal with success. There are a lot of people who win a war in history. They won a war and they don't know what to do with the land they occupied. They don't know how to deal with the situation after. And after, although they were able to actually conquer the enemy, then they had the trouble. You see this in modern times. The United States conquered Iraq and didn't know what to do afterwards. Now we have ISIS. The whole thing was a disaster. There was no plan. It's one thing to win a war. It's quite another to be able to deal with the situation. So that's Asher Yetzel to go out to war, Asher Yevim to be able to bring him in. Not one and the same. We need a leader who doesn't drop the ball at some point and follows through till the very end. God says to Moshe, and so, Kach lecha et Yehoshua. In case you're wondering, who's that person? His name is Joshua. Yehoshua ben Nun, Ish Asher Ruach Boy. You demanded a person of spirits? Yes, Yehoshua, he is that person. V'samachta es yodcha olav, you will lean upon him, so to speak. Now, of course, this is a euphemism, lean upon him, but it is actually quite literal as well. The idea of leaning on somebody, the concept of ordination, or when somebody gets appointed to that position, the appointment comes through the concept of literally leaning on the person, or so it used to once be. Rashi says, what does it mean, kach lecha? What, did you take him physically, manhandle him? So Rashi says it doesn't mean physically to take him. It means kochenu bedvarim. Just like you say somebody you capture, you took him with his words. It says speak to him. Use your words. Inspire him. Tell him, Ashrecha shezachisa lahaneig banav shamakim. So fortunate are you that you will lead the children of the Creator, the Master of the Universe. Now what is the idea of lecha kach lecha? So Rashi says, you should have said kach lahem. Moshe Rabbeinu won't be here later. His terrestrial life will come to an end, and somebody else is going to be in his stead. So he said, kach lahem, take them a leader. So Rashi says, no, kach lecha. Es shabaduk lecha. It's the one you know. Ezeh ta'ata makir. You know him well. You know that he's that person. And you know that he's a person, asher ruach bay, kasher, sha'alta, just as you requested in your prayer that it should be a person who is isha ruchais, sheyuchal ahalach keneged ruchais, shekol echad v'yechad. This is a person who will be able to inspire and relate to each and every individual. So we don't just look for the leader who's able to lead the nation, we look for the leader who's able to lead each person. As the famous Yiddish adage goes, don't ask was macht Klal Yisrael, ask was macht Rebbe Yisrael. Yisrael could be a name of an individual, the name of a nation. So he said, you can't be just concerned with the nation, you have to be concerned with the individual. And that was the paradigm of true Torah leadership. V'samachta asyodcha alav, Rashi says, this means tenlo, you should provide for him miturgman, a person who's going to serve as his spokesperson. And sheyidush befachayecha, he should now rise and speak before you in your lifetime. Shalayimru, they shouldn't say a love about him. In the days of your leader Moshe, your master, your teacher, you wouldn't even raise your head up. Nobody heard a word from you. And now all of a sudden you're going to be a leader? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, ensure that he has the stature yet in your lifetime. He should now be publicly speaking, publicly teaching, publicly sermonizing. And he should have somebody who will be as a spokesperson. He'll assume a presidential and a regal role. And that way, later, when Moshe Rabbeinu passes on, Yehoshua will seamlessly be able to fit the bill and lead the people. Now here's the interesting question, even though running very, very short of time, we go straight to the Biurim book. Yehoshua is a melech, he's a king. The Gemara says, Yehoshua melechaya, says Moshe melechaya. So what's the question? The question is that kings are anointed with oil. Right? They said they have melech HaMashiach. What does it mean? Is the king who will be anointed? Who will anoint Mashiach? That's a very good question. Not for this morning. David HaMelech was melech HaMashiach, he was anointed. Shaul HaMelech was anointed. Both of them by Samuel, by Shmuel and Navi. That's how a king is anointed. So the Rebbe asks, and so this question is also asked by the Minchas Chinuch in his notations on the Rambam. Madua le'matzino, why don't we find page Kufnon Gimel, Simen Chafei? Why don't we find Shachadish Baruch Hu, Tzivas Meisha lim Shoyach es Yehoshua b'shem anam Mishcha? Why was Moses not commanded to anoint Yehoshua? After all, if he should take his place, then he should take his place fully. Kederech minui melech, in the manner that a king is appointed, as the Rambam himself rules in Hilchos Melachim, The Maimonides says, Kishma Midim HaMelech, when a king is established, when somebody is raised to that position, Moshchen Oisei B'Shemen HaMishcha, and he's anointed with this special anointing oil. And so the question here becomes, why did Moshe Ben not do that? V'abir b'zeh. The explanation is as follows. HaRambam Magdir Es Tafkid HaMelech Kach. The Rambam, in the book of Kings, in the laws of Kings, pardon me, in the end of the fourth chapter, he describes, he gives you the job description of a king for Jewish people. He says, V'siye magmasayu machashavte lahorim dosa emes. His desire, his goal, his mission, his purpose should be to raise up, so to speak, the faith of truth. That's how he refers to Judaism. Ulamala sa'ilum tzedek, to fill the world with justice. To break the might or the grip of the wicked, to fight the wars of God. And the Rambam goes on to say, after he describes what he's supposed to do, a king is altogether not appointed to establish the rule of law, to ensure justice, and to do what's necessary for self-defense. In other words, tafkid hamlucha bi Yisrael, that the purpose of monarchy within the nation of Israel, it's not only to be concerned with the physical, technical, actual needs of the nation, but rather also gam, in fact, will be ikar primarily, lahashlit, velisim es hanhogas hateru b'Yisrael, to ensure that we're dealing with a Torah reality. So what's the king's job? See, we live in a secular world. Secular government. What's the job? The job is to take care of the material reality. So what's the prime minister or president's job? Make sure that there's a good economy, people have food, make sure there's good self-defense, people have safety and security. How about the morality of the country? How about the spirituality? So, oh no, that's not as pay grade. Separation church and state, don't mix the two. That's very nice. In a secular world, that's great. The Jewish people are not a secular people. For us, the job of the melech, of the leader, is what? To ensure both. The spiritual, the moral fabric of the nation, just as important, and perhaps even more important, than the safety, security, well-being, and economic prosperity. So that's what a melech is really about. And because that's the case, the melech's job is to ensure l'aseh mishpat. So this is essentially an expansion of Torah leadership. It's an expansion of spiritual leadership. But it happens through the manner of a court system. You have the ability to establish the rule of law. And here then is the point. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time of Yahushua, the leadership that they embodied was primarily a Torah leadership. Moshe is not called Moshe HaMelech, he's called Moshe Rabbeinu. And the idea of his greatest contribution of all time was not that he led the nation in self-defense, was not that he was able to hammer together a disparate collection of individuals and form them into an effective governing body or a nation that could somehow control itself and focus itself on achieving its aims, but Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah. And because this is the case, if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to appoint Yahushua and Yahushua is going to serve as the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu, then he has to fit the bill of Moshe. What's that? This is the idea of the spiritual leadership. And therefore the Rebbe maintains that there's two dimensions within the monarchical reality that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yahushua embodied. One is the spiritual leadership, and one is the technical leadership. He said, for Moshe Rabbeinu, everything else was a subsidiary. Everything came second to his spiritual leadership. The main thing was spiritual leadership. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to pass on to Yahushua. What did he give? He gave him smicha. He appointed him to a Torah leadership position. Anointment, a melech in a typical sense, this was all secondary. That fell under the rubric of Yahushua's leadership because Yahushua was the great Torah leader, because he was able to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, to anoint him would be, in a sense, to diminish his stature and position. And the Rebbe says this is how we can explain the words that we find in the Medrash that Shaul was Melech Rishon. Saul was the first king. But the Gemara says Moshe Melech Haya. The Gemara says Yahushua had Din Melech. So it had the halachas of a melech. It was a melech. How could Shaul be the first king? Because the first individual to function primarily as a monarch and as a head of state and as a leader in a literal technical sense was actually Shaul HaMelech. But the great leaders before, they were Torah leaders. and everything else was but secondary. And now we know why Yahushua is indeed regally appointed, but never royally anointed.